Our Lord speaks often about the end of this world. It's not going to go on in this form forever. But this is one of the most enigmatic of those teachings. What the church is doing right now, as we come close, you know, we have a couple of more weeks, and we have the first Sunday in Advent. Now, I know you're all familiar with how the church has taken authority over time and makes it his own. For the church is not in time. Time is in the church. Time serves us. And it serves us. We're here. So the whole liturgical year is meant to have the cycle of the cosmos speak to us about the gospel. So, for us, New Year's Day is the first Sunday of Advent. We start again. And we go through. So we have those 4 weeks of preparation for a new coming, a new presence of the Word incarnate among us. It's not a game. It's not a little help to meditation. It's taking the cosmos and making it serve the plan of God. And so there is a new presence of the Word incarnate among us, in and through the church, to the whole world. And that's what the liturgical year is. It's not that we're hooking our star to the way the world measures time. It's that we've taken time in the power of Christ, the body of Christ, and made it serve us. And so we live for ourselves and for the whole world who wants to listen the mystery. And so we start the first Sunday of Advent with the gospel always, end of the world. Give us a little proportion, a little perspective. And then we start to prepare living the history of Israel. That's why that Sunday now is called the last Sunday before Advent. It's called Christ the King. It's the culmination of the whole process. When the Lord comes back and judges as King. And then we start to yearn for his presence. And we celebrate his birth. And then we go through those mysteries that centered around his birth, the circumcision. His parents gave the Son of God his name, like all parents. Now, they were instructed by God what to name him. But the humility of God, he's a child now, nursing at his mother's breast, given a name, circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law of Moses. And all of that is gathered. And it ends with the baptism of Jesus. That's the end of that whole. These are mysteries, you know. They are acts of God in history, repeated liturgically, which doesn't mean ceremoniously. It means repeated. The whole body of Christ once again experiences the mystery. So we're starting to get ready now for Christmas, which is a new presence of Christ to the church and through the church to the world. It's new. It's a blessing. You know, it shouldn't be that the happiest people on Christmas Day are Macy's and Kimball's, if they're still around. It should be us, because there's a new presence there. And so then that ends at the baptism of Jesus. Now he's going to begin his public life. And so we go through that whole time in the next 7 weeks or so. And then, we begin Lent, and then we have the resurrection, and then the full flowering of that resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then what's called ordinary time. It's not very ordinary, but from that moment on, we relive and make ourselves the history of the church in the power of the Holy Spirit until the sun and the moon and so forth organize themselves and we're ready to say, we're starting again. But you see, the body of Christ is the locus for the way the cosmos moves. We're not in time. Time is in the church. And so it meant to serve us. So this week, most of the time, we're in the Book of Wisdom, as you just heard. And you see, it's amazing. Right after this, in Luke, he's so smart. Well, they all are. But, he starts to talk about prayer. So right after all of this, you know, about the end, he told his disciples, this is tomorrow, a disciple, about the need to pray always without becoming weary. That's all prayer is waiting for the Lord to come back. And so, tells the story about the judge in a certain town and the widow. He's saying, are you frightened? Are you nervous? Come to the Father. Speak to him. Ask him for whatever you need. And be like this judge, this widow. Do something. The daring images that our Lord Jesus Christ uses about the Father to encourage us to go pray. And so, well, save that for tomorrow. But so we would get these texts, you see, about the end to prepare us for the feast of Christ the King. And then we start Advent. And so you see, it began with the Jews. There were, in the world, before the Jews, there were harvest feasts, sort of thanking the gods and the forces, who are the forces of the cosmos, hoping to stay away from the bad spirits that they all knew were around. And those were the feasts. The feasts were in this world. The harvest, the grain harvest, the grape harvest, you see. And the Jewish liturgy just took them up and said, no, now they commemorate the Passover. Now they commemorate tabernacles. Now they commemorate. And so it goes from a cosmic religion to a chronological religion. Am I making sense? And this, of course, it isn't the first time you've heard a lot of this, but you see, it's so that's why we have this text, this parable of the Lord, this prediction. It's going to happen, and so be ready. Well, where is it going to happen? Use your brains. If you see a bunch of vultures circling around a certain spot out in the desert, you know there's a carcass there. If you're that bright, look up and see what's going on and know what's going on. And you can see we are headed for an age of great chaos, great rebellion against God. Europe, as it was Christian, led the world to a recognition of God. Now Europe is totally corrupt, and so we are too. And now what? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But at least we're being warned that Macy's may not be around much longer. There's going to be changes. And that reality, which reminds people of the termination of the world, the termination of every human life, the need to be judged by God. That organization which stands for that and preach, reminds us all of that and preaches mercy is the Catholic Church. And therefore, the object of persecution. So long as there's one Christian around, one Catholic around, you see, there's a counter-argument to all this totally closed system thinking. All we got is this world, and we better just organize it, and I'll organize it. I will be the future leader of the free world, as was announced when Obama was in Germany, when he was running for, you know, when he was campaigning, I think. Maybe, I don't think he might have been president. That's the conflict. But the Lord is saying, open your eyes and come to me. Listen to my mother. I've told you over and over and over again. I've sent her to tell you, to pray, to say the rosary. That's not a pious exercise. It's holding off the forces of darkness and prepared, letting the church get prepared enough. But I thought you might be interested in all that. You know, that's why we're not in any cycle, Matthew, Mark, Luke right now. We're just picking eschatological texts. You know, we have this one about, and then we start again. And we start with the book of Maccabees on Monday. Why? Because the Maccabees overthrew the power of darkness in Israel by a war, but they did it. So let's stand and pray.